Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Stunt Treks with Uncle Jim and D. Leslie Hoffman. This is our Thanksgiving edition show, and I just wanted to let you guys know that there will be no show next Sunday. There will be no Trek Talking next Thursday due to Thanksgiving. We're all going to be off enjoying our turkey and celebrating with our families. So those of us in the United States and those of us who are listening outside of the United States, well, you can just take a little break and come back next week. We'll be here same bat time, same bat channel. So if you've listened to the show in the past, you know that usually when Leslie and I start talking about all different things, Star Trek, A Nightmare on Elm Street, doesn't matter what, we always seem to meander back to Planet of the Apes. I don't know why we always do. Everything seems to lead back to Planet of the Apes. So we decided, you know, let's tackle that elephant in the room. Let's get that out of the way once and for all, and do a show about Planet of the Apes. So that's what we're going to do. Tonight we're going to talk about Planet of the Apes and the groundbreaking prosthetics that were done, which, you know, you can still see today, and some of the people that have starred on Planet of the Apes that also went on to star on perhaps Star Trek. Maybe one of your favorite Star Trek actors was on Planet of the Apes and you never even knew it. Who knows? But we're just going to have some fun talking about Planet of the Apes tonight. So, Leslie, are you with me?
I'm with you. We're finally, I'll say we're back to, I'll call it a normal winter. We're in the 20s and the 30s as opposed to minus 9.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the same thing here. We were supposed to get 4 to 5 inches of snow, but it's just been coming down in rain.
Oh, yeah, we had that this week, too. Yeah, it couldn't make it, but it was raining, it was sleeting, it was snowing. That's really miserable weather because it makes the roads really dangerous.
Yeah, we had the whole gambit. We got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but not a lot of one thing. But we'll see what's on the ground when we wake up in the morning. You never can tell. Especially way, way, way up there in Saranac Lake. My God, you guys are, what, 5 minutes from Canada?
Well, if you were to go, what do they say, as the crow flies, if you were to fly straight north, we would be at the Canadian border in an hour. If you could fly, the Canadian border is an hour away. If you have to drive up to Canada, then you go to Plattsburgh first, which is right near Lake Champlain, and then you start heading north. And, well, it takes about maybe only 2 hours to get to Montreal.
Wow. So you are way up there.
Yeah. No, in fact, Montreal and Quebec and Burlington, Vermont, are basically the same amount of drive time. It's either 2 hours straight east or 2 hours going east and then going north. same amount of time. And Albany is 2.5 hours. So I'm closer to Vermont and Canada than I am to Albany.
But to get to Albany, though, you just got to jump on the Northway and go all the way to the end or the beginning, right?
Right, correct. There's about 37 miles of rural road, and then you finally get on to the Northway, and then it goes. Then you hope you're going a little faster than, you know, just a single lane highway, and that's, you know, I don't know if I've said this in the past. It's like in California, you had freeways, and you could have 3 or 4 lines or lanes going in the same direction, which to me, that's great, except that there's just too many cars in Los Angeles. In upstate New York, you only have one lane going one way and one lane going the other way. You get behind a log truck or a dump truck or, you know, just a bunch of cars. The only way you can pass is by moving into the oncoming lane, hopefully with no cars oncoming.
Yep.
And get around them and hope you get back on your side before a car does show up.
Yeah, that's that. No, we were out in California. We went out to L.A. and back in the 90s. And my wife and I were totally blown away because you're driving on these huge, like, 12-lane highways. Like you said, there's got to be 4 or 6 lanes going in each direction. I mean, they are super highways. And I'm driving along, and I see a sign that my exit is 3 miles up, and I got 90 cars between me and the off-ramp. Yet I put my blinker on to get over, and I had no problem. They actually let me cross over. I was very surprised at how courteous the drivers were out in California. Of course, you know, this was in the 90s. This was, you know, 30 years ago. I don't know if they are still that way. But when I was out there, I was really shocked at how courteous the drivers were.
Yeah, I would say I'll be nice and say I've had both experiences.
Yeah, because you know, I rented a car and we, you know, went to see the sights, and I was concerned about driving on these super highways, but I didn't have a problem. I found the people to be very nice and very courteous. But be that as it may.
No,
they
don't.
Admiral Ken won't be with us tonight. He's not feeling up to it tonight. So it's just going to be Leslie Hoffman and Uncle Jim. But that's okay. It was us for the longest time. Ken will be back when he can make it, which is fine. Ken's got some issues, and I understand that. But before we go too far, I just wanted to let you guys in on something that I did over the weekend that was a great experience. And normally I would mention this on Trek Talking, but since there's no Trek Talking show in honor of Thanksgiving, and I don't want to wait 2 weeks because by then it'll be irrelevant. But here, you heard of Toys for Tots, right? Most people have. Well, here in Rutland, there's a thing called the Galactic Toy Drive, and it's put on by the 501st, which is a Star Wars professional fan club that's sponsored by Disney. And they used to do it at the Diamond Run Mall when we had one. Now we don't have a mall anymore. So they did it at the elementary school around the corner from me. And the guy that was running it sent me a message on Facebook and said, hey, you know, we'd love to have Starfleet there. And I said, great. So I went over there as a Klingon. And they had Darth Vader and a bunch of stormtroopers and clone troopers and Jawas and Jedi. Everything else, the Who looked, you know, spectacular, of course. They had the Guardians of the Galaxy people there, Roger Rat.
All science fiction was being represented.
Yeah, they had...
They
had the Avengers were there. Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Black Widow were there. Spider-Man was there.
Oh, well...
See what else was there? They had some people.
I always get it. I always get mixed up who's DC and who's Marvel, but so you had superheroes as well.
Yep, Deadpool was there. And the man of the hour, of course, was Santa Claus. He was there. And Super Claus, or old Chris Kringle, Chris Klingon, as I call him. All the armed services were there. They had the F-16 fighter pilots from Burlington were down there. The Air National Guard was there, the police, the fire department.
Wow.
Everybody. It was a big event, big local event. All the local high school band and orchestra and jazz ensemble, and they were all there playing different songs throughout the day. And they were they had the Back to the Future car was there, the DeLorean.
Ooh.
And the New England Ghostbusters were there.
Was it a real DeLorean? Because there aren't that many around, or there's such a limited few DeLoreans left.
Yes, this was actually, so I was the only Star Trek person there. I was dressed up as a Klingon. Of course, everyone who knows me knows I only dress up as a Klingon. So I was there, I was there hanging out by the Star Wars people, like trying to figure out, what's this Star Wars thing? And why is this dude can't breathe? He's got asthma or something's wrong with this guy. So I was just having fun with the Star Wars people. We were having a good time fooling around with that. And I got a picture of me with a stormtrooper, and he's holding on to my batlift and doesn't know what to do with it. We had a good time.
You've put an image into my head of a Klingon Santa. I mean, yes. I could just see a kid sitting on a Klingon's lap. You will take that gift.
It was fun. It was a really good time. And the reason why I mention it is because I had so much fun hanging out, meeting all the kids, meeting all the people. The thing about it is this was a toy drive for the local kids. It was for Brock. So all the toys collected went to local families. And a lot of these people have never been to a convention. They've never seen, you know, a Klingon or a superhero. So they were totally in awe. One kid came up to me and thought I was Wolverine. Figure that one out.
I should have let you borrow my Freddy Krueger glove and you could have...
Well, I'm thinking maybe I was going to ask you maybe next year when they do it, maybe if you want to come down and hang out at the table with us or something, but we'll talk about that later off air. But I mentioned it because it was so much fun, and it was all the money was collected, all the money and toys were all for a good cause, for, you know, kids to have a Christmas. And that's what Star Trek is all about to me. And that's what fandom is all about. And if I can dress up as a Klingon and people want to come and see me and take a picture and bring a toy for a kid, then I'm humbled. You know, so it was so much fun. I can't wait for next year because I wasn't prepared this year and I was there by myself. I want to get more people to come next year to represent Star Trek and maybe have a nice, a special table set up instead of just me standing there by myself, which was still fun. Little Caesars donated 100 pizzas, and everybody that was in costume or that was there to work got free pizza. It was so much fun. It was such a heartwarming experience. And when Santa Claus showed up, I got a picture of Santa Claus with Darth Vader and all of the stormtroopers out in front of the school. And it was just so much fun. And I just wanted to pass that along to you guys, the fun that it was helping children and raising money.
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to talk about it on Star Trek, but I did want to mention it to everybody while it was fresh in my mind. It just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to wait 2 weeks to tell you guys about it, but it was so, so, so much fun. And next year I want to have a Trek talking table. I want to try to broadcast live from the event, and maybe we can have Leslie Hoffman can come down and hang out with us and just have some fun with you know, and raise some toys and money for the children that need it. And last year they raised $7,000 in toys and donations, and they topped that with over 9,000 this year. So it was definitely a success.
Wow.
So
that's so nice.
I met so many nice people over the weekend. It was so much fun. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to those guys for inviting me, even though I'm a Klingon and they're stormtroopers and stuff. It was so much fun, and all the fandom was all mixing together. It didn't matter if you were a superhero or a Klingon or a stormtrooper. We all just hung out and had fun. And the best part, I'll tell you this one quick story before we move on to the Planet of the Apes. I work over at the jail here in Rutland. I've been there for just about 15 years. So pretty much all the cops see me. They know me. You know, I talk to them every day. So there I am, dressed up as a Klingon with my bat lift. And I'm walking around, and one of these cops comes up to me, and he's telling me, he's actually talking to me about the new Picard show and stuff, and what I think about it, and blah, 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 blah. And then he wants to get a picture with me. This is an actual cop that, with a gun, you know, a real cop. And he wants to get a picture holding my fake batlet. So I give him the batlet, and he's holding the batlet, and we're taking a picture. He still doesn't know who I am. And I said, Jack, don't you know who I am? I said, I'm Jim Yeager. I see you at the jail every single day. Well, not every day, maybe, you know, once or twice a week, whatever. And he couldn't believe it. He's like, oh, yeah. Now I recognize you. I said, yeah, well, when you see me at the jail next week, say hello. Tell everyone how much fun it was to be here and encourage people to bring some toys down and meet, you know, Jim the Klingon. Maybe they can hold my bat lift. So it was fun. It was really, really, really fun. And if you guys get an opportunity to participate in something like that and help children and have a good time at the same time, I just can't express enough the joy that you get and the happiness when you have real heroes like police officers and jet fighter pilots and firefighters that want to take a picture with you because, you know, the person you're dressed as, you know, led them down the path that they chose for their lives. And these people are real heroes. And I'm just a fake guy dressing up as something. And when these people want to get in a picture with you because the thing that you're dressed as, that you represent, inspired them to pursue a course that really saves people and really helps people, it's a great feeling. So I just wanted to get that out there. Before I forget about it in the next 2 weeks with all the holidays, and before, you know, we can talk about it on Trek Talk. So I just wanted to take some time to mention that. So.
Yeah, post some pictures on the appreciation page.
Oh yeah. I should do that. I only have a few. I only have three or four. Because it was hard to take pictures. It was very crowded. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, I have a picture of me with Darth Vader and some stormtroopers. It was funny. I'm standing there next to the stormtrooper, and I said to the guy, I said, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? And this is the funny part. When the stormtrooper answered me back, it was a woman. And I couldn't even tell. I didn't even know. I was like, oh my God, that's a woman in there. But it was fun. It was a blast.
Yeah.
And I had a really great time. So I wanted to thank them for letting me participate in that. And next year, I want to have more Star Trek people there than just me. And maybe the Leslie Hoffman. We'll see if we can work that out. But at any rate. So...
maybe it's minus 9 degrees. I'll come on down.
Have you ever done anything? I'm sorry that I'm meandering a little bit here, but this touched me. So it was just an experience for me. Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever raised money for children or anything like that? That using your Nightmare on Elm Street or your acting or stunt career for anything like that?
Not quite that, but the closest that I can come to it was there was some kind of event or something in Lake Placid, and I had the postcard size Nightmare on Elm Street and was asking for donations, and then I donated all the money to the Red Cross. But that was a one person show. That wasn't like it was a group of people trying to raise money for that. It was just that I showed up, set up a table and collected donations and then donated it, like say, to Red Cross.
See, I want to do something like that next year at this event and see if we can raise some money to donate to help the children have a good Christmas. We'll talk about it later, but it was so much fun, guys.
Yeah.
I was in my element. It was a blast. I can't say enough about it. But at any rate, we're not here to talk about Toys for Tots and stuff like that. We're here to talk about the Planet of the Apes. Now,
I'll call it a celebration. We lost somebody that, to me, memorable acting career was Michael J. Pollard. He was in the original Star Trek series, Mary. He's the guy that has, looks like someone broke his nose. You know, it's like he's got no cartilage in the middle, but he's got, you know, a little bump of a nose at the end. He was in Bonnie and Clyde. He was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I mean, the minute you saw this guy, you knew this actor. But we lost him this week. So I just want to do a quick... That's it. You know, I just wanted to... His films were part of... As you say, you watch things and you remember certain people.
he was in the episode Mary. He was the older boy, and then there was the older girl that,
right,
I believe was what's her face's daughter.
Ken Darby.
Yes.
Ken Darby.
The two of them were the
girl.
Two. They were the older. He, I believe, if I remember correctly, he had on like an army, like a green army.
And he didn't believe the grumps. You know, Kim Darby's in love with Captain Kirk, and I can't remember his character's name, but he doesn't trust. The adults were called the grumps, and he absolutely did not trust the grumps.
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah, and you're right. He's got like a little flat button nose and kind of curly, frizzy hair in the episode. I don't know what he looked like now,
that's what he looked like in Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and that's what he looked like in Bonnie and Clyde. That's what I'm saying. When you see this guy, it's like, wait a minute, I know who this person is.
It's funny,
you know,
isn't
never...
it, when you, yeah, when you recognize people. I was speaking of recognize. I promise we're going to talk about Planet of the Apes. Speaking of recognizing people. Well, Karen puts on this brand new Beethoven movie that's on Freeform. And I'm watching, like, really? Isn't it kind of just a tad too early? Just a touch, but we watched it anyway. Well, I'm sitting there, and I don't know how far into the movie, and this actor pops up. He's the bad guy in the movie. And it turned out it was Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager who played
yeah,
the doctor.
Right.
And his sidekick, was the guy that played Booger in the Risky Business or the Revenge of the Nerds movie. And he was also in Risky Business. And I was like, wow, I know those two guys right away. So you see people that you notice them right away. But speaking of people you notice, Planet of the Apes. So here's something that
listeners
might not be aware of. Planet of the Apes came out in 1966, of course, star Charlton Heston, who doesn't know that, and Roddy McDowall, of course, classic. But then we had Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest for the Planet of the Apes, and Battle for Planet of the Apes. We had five Planet of the Apes movies, original Planet of the Apes movies. Then in 1974, we had a Planet of the Apes TV series, which ran for one season, I think 13 episodes or 12. I don't know the exact number, but ran for one season. We also had an animated Planet of the Apes cartoon on Saturday morning that ran for one season, which I don't recall. I may have seen N episodes. I don't know much about that. 2001, they relaunched the Planet of the Apes, and actually Charlton Heston starred in, well, didn't star, but he had a bit part in the 2001 remake of Planet of the Apes. And then Planet of the Apes hung around for a little while until 2011 when they made Return of the Planet of the Apes. And then they made the second one was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And then in 2017, they made the final one, War for the Planet of the Apes. So, you know, there's quite a bit more Planet of the Apes movies and TV series than people, I think, may be aware of. Quite a few. So let's dive right in and talk about the Planet of the Apes, Leslie. In 1968, when they did the ape makeup for Planet of the Apes, which, by the way, still looks really good, even by today's makeup standards. And even I even see from time to time when I go to different Comic Cons, I'll see somebody dressed up from Planet of the Apes, and it looks just as good today as it did in 1968. And I think that's a mark of a good makeup job, that it doesn't age, that it looks just as good as it did then as it does today, because with today's makeup techniques, they can do some amazing. I mean, look at Saru on Discovery. You know, they can do some amazing stuff. But let's go all the way back to 1968. They didn't have that
actually
technology.
1966.
Well, yeah, it would have been earlier. It would have been earlier. So,
right.
How
there was a okay, go ahead.
How did they compare to the way they did Worf and the way they did the makeup on you, like when you were doing Star Trek and Nightmare on Elm Street and all the different movies you've done? How would that have compared to how they did it in Planet of the Apes in the 60s?
Well, actually, let me go into the actual history, and this kind of says it all. You know, it's just like Ray Harryhausen did the still photography, King Kong, Jason and the Argonauts. I mean, that was breakthrough filming technique. No one had ever really done that before.
Oh, I love that. The skeletons in Jason and the Argonauts, when they battle the skeletons. When I was a kid I saw that, oh my God, I was blown away by the skeletons. It was incredible.
Yeah. And that's all Ray Harryhausen. I mean, you just don't real. Well, I say things are CGI now, but I mean, the guy was. You got to realize he invented it. I mean, it wasn't like he picked up somebody's other idea and just did all these great movies. He invented the idea of, you know, I can't even call it. You can't call it still photography. I'm losing what word you would use for that.
It was stop action.
You know,
it was stop action.
Stop action. There you go. Anyways, okay, so there was a guy named John Chambers who was, I don't know if he was necessarily a doctor, but he worked in the military hospital in World War II. And you had guys who had their ears blown off, their nose blown off, they were disfigured. I mean, they just would not have survived, I call it, in life, because they were so disfigured. And John Chambers actually came up with creating prosthetic ears, nose, chins, cheeks. And that's how he got started. He was helping the military soldiers that, you know, no longer didn't quite look human anymore. I mean, which is amazing in itself. Anyways, he decided to go to Hollywood and become a makeup artist. And one of his early on jobs was he was asked to create the ears for Spock. So that would be like around 1966, because we're talking about the first pilot. You know, in other words, there was no Captain Kirk. There was Captain Pike. But Spock had those ears back then in the first pilot. So John Chambers created those ears.
Wow, I did not know that.
Right. So why you say that? Now we're talking about 1966 or whenever that came about. And again, you don't know, you know, was there a year of pre-production? You know, in other words, what year did the ears actually get made? Which kind of brings us up to the next thing, is that so in 1968 or before, I mean, obviously he had to create the makeup before they started filming Planet of the Apes. He created the prosthetics for Planet of the Apes, and it's exactly the same kind of prosthetics that I would wear as a Cardassian or a Klingon. In other words, it's separate pieces. It's not a mask. Because if you just glue a mask to somebody's face, you really can't express emotions or anything. If you do pieces on a person's face, they're well, going back to Planet of the Apes, is like when Roddy McDowall wasn't very happy with what's going on and he's making faces, you know, like when Charlton Heston kissed the brain just went dead.
Was it Kim Hunter?
Yeah, but what was her name?
Zayas. Cornelius Zayas. Zayas.
Yeah, Zayo. Yeah, you know, when Charlton Heston kissed her, you know, Roddy McDowall makes this really, like, face. And it could not have been done unless John Chambers had made these separate pieces. You can go on YouTube and different sites on YouTube and seeing him applying it to Roddy McDowall, or, you know, like I say, it's separate pieces glued to the face that allows you to move your face around, which moves the prosthetics. How do I say it? Differently. In other words, the whole face doesn't move. It's what, you know, if you're crinkling your lips, then you're crinkling the muzzle. If you're raising your eyebrow, you're only raising one side of your eyebrow. Like I say, a mask just takes away everything. It's like Botox in your face. I mean,
yeah, that's the one thing that was awesome in the Planet of the Apes, if you watch it, is that the apes were very expressive. Roddy McDowall had a full range of motion and was able to convey that through his acting. Whereas, you know, if he was wearing a full makeup, like you said, if he had a full headpiece on, you wouldn't be able to see those slight movements.
Right. Like the extras they used to make, you know, like a full head helmet, whatever you want to call it, that they just plop it over the top of the person's head. But of course, you're not doing close-ups on background performers or extras, so, you know, who cares whether their face is moving or not, but you know, you have the main characters, the orangutans and the chimpanzees, and they're talking, and they're, you know, and they have to express themselves. You know, they just can't, if if you were to watch the movie and they were just going blah, 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 and you hardly see their face moving, you would not have the planet of the 1968 Planet of the Apes that is still good today.
Yeah, I agree completely. Planet of the Apes has aged extremely well. Extremely well. Oddly enough, if you watch the original Planet of the Apes, 1968 Planet of the Apes of Charlton Heston, it looks spectacular. It doesn't age much at all. But if you watch the 2001 Planet of the Apes remake, it aged very poorly because they use CGI and stuff in that movie, which aged.
Right.
And it actually, I don't think the 2001 Planet of the Apes looks as good as the 1966 Planet of the Apes. Although the female ape in the remake is really, really hot. I can't think of the actress's name, but boy, is she hot.
Yeah, but so is Jessica Rabbit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, but she's
What'd
a cartoon. The ape.
Well,
Bonham? Who is it? Helen Carter Bonham?
I'm just saying, how much difference is a CGI from a cartoon, really? I mean, they're going to bring James Dean back in some movie. I've been reading about that. I mean, yeah, you can recreate, you can CGI James Dean, but the soul of the actor isn't going to be there.
Right, exactly. Like Disney did with Peter Cushing in Star Wars Rogue One. They brought a dead actor back to life. But
yeah,
at any rate.
Yeah.
So
actually, well, wrapping up John Chambers. Oh, and he taught Westmore how to create, the prosthetics. He didn't charge him a penny. He just said, whatever you call it, move it forward. You know, I'm teaching you how to do this. You move it forward to the next generation of makeup artists. And like you say, without John Chambers, we would not have all the unique. Well, going back to TOS, most of the aliens, they either just painted them brown or they were in a solid costume. That again, like the salt monster, he didn't really, the face didn't move, or the white gorilla, whatever, it begins with an M, the one that scratches and has poison. Mugatu. I mean, there was no expression to that. The Gorn, there was no expression to the Gorn.
Nope, you're right.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
We have a caller on the line, Leslie. Uh-oh. We have a fan that wants to ask you a question. Let's see who we have here.
Okay.
I know, isn't that awesome? Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Stunt Treks. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hello, I'm Paul Cretney. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay.
Good. How you doing? Nice to talk to you, Buzz. Nice to talk to you. Hey, first time, right? I'm from Fort Washington, PA. I'm in a nursing home. I thought maybe I'd give you a call here. You know what I mean? Say hi to you all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I like you both. You're good people. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Paul. Hey, so Paul, do you remember Planet of the Apes? Did you ever see Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, and, I remember that show. It was also a show too. A series. They had movies. Yeah.
What was your favorite Planet of the Apes of all the movies? What was your favorite?
I would say the newer one. The newer one where the ape goes crazy, they're on a zoo like environment and they all go crazy. Take over.
Oh, yeah, that's the dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yep.
Right, the new one. Right, that's the one. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
You know what's unique? What was good about that one, Paul, is that even though it was a brand new movie, and they made it today. The way they wrote it is that they fit it into the original Planet of the Apes and explained how the apes got that way.
Oh yeah, that's a shame. They got smart. They've all been drugged. They got smart.
They did a really good job with that.
But do you remember the one where this guy was on another planet and he had to get, and he went to Earth. They found himself in the future. They showed Abe Lincoln in the background. You see that one?
Yes, that was the 2000. That was the 2001. Planet of the Apes that had Mark Wahlberg in it.
That was a favorite of mine too. And
that was
that's one of my favorites also. And so, Star Trek, yeah, I like Star Trek. I like Star Trek the best. Yeah, Star Trek is also Next Generation is also my favorite.
Star Trek definitely rules. So Leslie and I were just about to start talking about some of the actors that you may have seen on Planet of the Apes that you may recognize from Star Trek or other shows. And there's two in particular that I want to mention. And then Leslie's got a few, but the most notable one I think that everyone would recognize is in the third installment of Planet of the Apes, which I think was 1971, maybe. I might be off with the year, but it was called Escape from the Planet of the Apes. And the human being that helps the apes escape is played by Ricardo Montalban, who of course played Khan. So,
I always wanted to meet him.
Leslie has met him and can tell you all about him. Leslie's worked with him even.
Really?
And another one that I want to mention that the sharper Star Trek fans would know is Mark Leonard, who of course played Sarek. He played General Urko, who was one of the eight
generals. I saw him a long time ago. Right,
yeah.
He was in Planet of the Apes
as well as Star Trek. So, Leslie, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like working with Ricardo Montalban and some of the other people that have been on Planet of the Apes and gone on to do other things that we might have heard about.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Well, I always loved talking about Ricardo because he was just the most amazing person.
He was. I agree.
Not only did he do Escape from Planet of the Apes, he was in the very beginning of Conquest of Planet of the Apes. What did he jump out a window or something? He gets killed fairly early on in the movie.
You're right. I forgot. He dies protecting Cornelius.
Oh, right. Really? My favorite movie with him in it was the Wrath of Khan. That was a good movie.
Yep. Classic.
That was one of the best. Yeah, that was a classic movie with him in it. The best. Then they made a new one without him. Sad, you know what I mean?
He was a great actor.
Oh, he was definitely. And so Leslie's a good actor too. I like Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie's awesome too.
She's a good actress.
Yes.
You're a pretty good actress. Even though I don't got a picture of you yet, I'd like to get one. But I wish I had the money to get one by then. You know what I mean?
Leslie's awesome.
She is.
So what was it like working with Ricardo, Leslie? Was he a gentleman? What was he like?
Like I say, he was an absolute gentleman. I mean, I worked with him on Fantasy Island several times. Then
The plane. Hurry, Villachez or something.
Ricardo is definitely unique. Yeah, so you worked with him, I was saying that
two or three years later, I walk onto the Naked Gun set, you know, other than Leslie Nielsen, I didn't know who was in the movie. And Ricardo Montalban walks up to me and says, "Hello, Leslie." And it's like, holy smokes, this guy, you know, he remembers me from Fantasy Island. I mean, just an amazing man and always friendly. I don't remember him ever being in a bad mood.
That's rare. And what anybody else that people might recognize from Planet of the Apes that went on to be on others besides Ricardo and Mark Leonard?
Mark Leonard, that is amazing. I forgot to put in all the stuff. So let's see. Now I got to go up and down this. Is that so? He played Urkel in 11 of the 14 episodes of the television show. But
yep.
On television, he was in Balance of Terror as the Romulan commander. He was Sarek in Journey to Babel. He was in Next Generation Unification as Sarek. He was in the movies. He was actually a Klingon captain in the original movie. Then he was Sarek in Search for Spock, The Voyage Home, and Undiscovered Country. So they must have really liked him. I mean, again, is that you give quality performances, you get called back.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll try to go through this. So James Daly, you know, I remember him in Requiem for Methuselah, Flint. You know, he invented the, I guess she was an android. You wouldn't call her a robot. She must have been an android. But he was in the original Planet of the Apes. I think he was an orangutan called Honorarius, which I haven't, you know, gone and looked to see exactly. He might have been at the trial or something. You have Lou Wagner, not to be confused with the guy that was on Carol Burnett. He was in the original Planet of the Apes as Lucas. He was the nephew that helped everybody escape.
He was the one that didn't trust adults, right?
Right, grown-ups.
Yep.
But then he was also in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes as a busboy, but it's been so long, I don't know. You know, the character's name was Busboy. I don't know if he spoke or not. But then he was on Next Generation, Chain of Command, as, again, I don't necessarily remember this, but Damon Solok. And he was in Deep Space Nine as Krox in the Nagus. This is James Gregory was Dagger of the Mind. That was the light that, you know, I'm sorry, it looked like a kitchen light to me. We had one of those in our house when I was growing up.
It was a mind ripper.
Into my mind, but anyways, so Dagger of the Mind, but he was in Beneath Planet of the Apes. And I guess he had this line was, the only good human is a dead human. Jeff Corey was, he was the head guy in the Cloud Minders. You know, he didn't think the Tellarites or whatever their names were worthy of living up in the clouds. But he was a character named Caspi in Beneath Planet of the Apes. Let's see, I'm trying to go through this. William Wyndham, people should remember him in the Doomsday Machine, you know, that big aluminum cylinder that was eating everything, eating planets, eating ships, whatever. He was Commodore Decker, and he was
yeah, who,
Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Leslie, not only was he Commodore Decker, but he was William Decker's father from Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Oh, really? Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah, that was his father. In the Star Trek world, not in the real world.
Actually, I left out some. We've talked about this before. Is Joe Ruskin was someone named Daquu in the television show. But you would remember him most for being in Gamesters of Triskelion. He was also in a bunch of other series. But that's the one I remember him, you know, where his eyes would glow and people would be choking. I think this is interesting because people do not realize this, is that there were three people that actually played the Gorn in the episode Arena. But he was a gorilla in one of the, well, in the television show, Gary Combs. Then Percy Rodriguez, I hope I'm saying that correct. Again, we're doing television shows now. He played a character named Arboro. You know, you got to excuse me on this because I didn't watch the Planet of the Apes television series. But he was in Court Martial as the Portmaster, which now I'm not sure if that he wasn't one of the three, or no, I'm mixing up Court Martial with Menagerie, or the Cage, or whatever you want to call, whichever one is the two port. The Court Martial was the one where the Finney or something like that, the guy felt that he didn't get promoted because Kirk reported him. So he made it look like the pod was Jennison while it was still in yellow alert instead of red alert. And there was a court-martial due to that. So he was in that one. Just honorable mention, because I think it's interesting, is David Gerald, who's more well-known for Trouble with Tribbles, Trials and Tribulation. He must have known something, and they allowed him to be a chimp on Battle of the Planet of the Apes. You know, well, we talked about that like the very end of Deep Space Nine, where all the producers and other people got to sit in Vic's lounge and be customers. So he wasn't uncredited chimp in Battle for Planet of the Apes, but like I say, he's well known for the triple stories in the original Star Trek and in Deep Space Nine. Then I'm not quite sure exactly what it means, is that it says story by, you know, David Gerald, the Cloudminders. So I don't know if he came up with the idea, but then the whole script got rewritten. So he got the credit for coming up with the idea, but he wasn't given the credit for being the writer of the episode. And then going in the other direction, I, Mudd, which is one of the, you know, Harry Mudd episodes, he was given credit for rewriting the storyline. So in other words, he didn't come up with the idea, but they gave him the script to rewrite it. And then finally, well, another thing was, I guess, again, you want to be a part of, you want to get him in film, is that in Star Trek The Motion Picture, he was a crewman. You know, I doubt that he had any lines, but he got to stand with the rest of the crewmen. So it's fun. And it's amazing how related. Well, we've been saying it all along, how related Planet of the Apes and Star Trek is.
And just as a little offshoot here, IDW made an excellent, excellent crossover comic book, Star Trek Meets the Planet of the Apes. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but it was really good. And the guys that wrote it really knew their Star Trek and really knew their Planet of the Apes, because they melded the two together absolutely seamlessly perfect. So, you know, if you're looking for something fun and different to read, you can probably get it on Comicology as a digital download. It's Planet of Star Trek Meets Planet of the Apes. It was really a really good story. It involves the Klingons, of course. I think it's Kor, if I remember correctly. I think Commander Kor is in it. And, of course, Charlton Heston is in it, and Cornelius and Zero are in it. And, of course, Kirk and Spock and Scotty. It's a really good story. It's a lot of fun. So if you're looking for something different, see if you can find it. Star Trek versus or Star Trek Meets Planet of the Apes by IDW. It's a lot of fun. Well, Leslie, sure. We've burned up another show.
Yeah. It just,
it's hard to believe.
Yeah,
hard to believe.
It just goes so quickly. At first, I was afraid that I was going to have very little crossover, but then when this whole thing with John Chambers came up, I just, again, that's amazing that the career, I don't think I said it, is he was given an honorary Oscar for the Planet of the Apes, and at that time, the Academy didn't have a category for makeup artists, so they invented an Oscar, a special Oscar for him for Planet of the Apes, which was 68. The makeup category didn't come into being until 1981.
Wow, I did not know that either.
Yeah, so...
See, it's educational.
So again,
see, Star Trek is educational and fun.
Yeah, I don't try to say that I know everything in the world. I mean, I just go back and study it again, and I see the names come up, and it's like, wow, as you just said, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew about John Chambers. What's that?
It's a small world sometimes.
Yeah, I knew about John Chambers. I knew about the prosthetics for the disfigured soldiers. But I never knew that he made the ears for Spock. I just knew he was Planet of the Apes. So, you know, when I started studying it, and they go, well, I love the way they say it. They keep saying, he made the pointy ears for Spock. It's like, why do you have to say the pointy ears for Spock? I mean, if you know who Spock is, you know what his ears look like. But I guess,
yeah,
I guess they're doing that for people who may not have ever seen Star Trek. But
well, who could that possibly be? My God.
I know, that's the way I look at it. Like, oh, well, I've had people say, instead of saying Mr. Spock, they'll call him Dr. Spock. I said, a baby doctor was on the Enterprise?
Yeah, different Spock. Well, we are out of time, and we got to say goodnight. So, Paul, thank you very much for calling tonight. It was great to have you on with us.
Oh, yeah, right. And it was cool.
You have you have a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
And you too, guys. You too. And you too, Leslie. You both have
thanks
a good
Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling. All right. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, thank you, Leslie, for hanging out and chatting with me about Planet of the Apes. It's always fun and always great to chat with the Leslie Hoffman. Always.
Well, I love talking to Uncle Jim.
Yep, I'm a character, that's for sure. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. And listen, everybody have a very safe and very happy Thanksgiving. Eat lots and lots of turkey.
Yes.
Take a nap. Get up the next day. Eat lots and lots and lots more turkey. Go out and do some Black Friday shopping and enjoy your time with your family and your friends. And just remember, there'll be no Stunt Treks or Trek Talking next week in honor of the holiday, but we'll be back the following week. We have all kinds of great stuff to talk about. The Mandalorian, a couple of episodes we'll talk about. We got the Picard series. We got the news on Star Trek IV to talk about as well. So we got a lot of news to talk about on the other side of the holiday. So be safe and be good. And we'll see you guys all next week. Well, not next week, the following week after everybody's had a good time with their holiday. And I want to say thank you to Paul for calling and hanging out with us. And, of course, thank you to the Leslie Hoffman. And, of course, I'm Uncle Jim. And we'll be back with you guys. Same bat time, same bat channel, but we're going to skip a week. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Night. Bye.
Let's see what's out there.